from baseball cards.
Oh, boy, free trading cards.
To bobbleheads and everything in between. It's time for the Collector's Corner on 1600 ESPN.
Indeed it is, Collector's Corner every Wednesday around this time here on 1600 ESPN as we talk all things sports cards and collectibles. If you have any questions, feel free to send them in via the text line 319-366-1600. Happy to do my best to answer those for you. You can send ideas for future topics after the segment, before the segment, to the text line. You can also email me directly, spencer@kgymradio.com. Or follow me on X, formerly known as Twitter, @SWOnTheRadio. Feel free to interact with me on there. If you have questions about cards, collectibles, stuff like that, happy to answer those best I can here on the segment. Want to welcome in sponsor of the segment, Cooley Cards and Gaming of Cedar Rapids. You can find them at 2660 Wiley Boulevard Southwest, near the intersection of Wiley and Williams Boulevard Southwest in Cedar Rapids. Be sure you check them out on Facebook. Look for Cooley Cards and Gaming Cedar Rapids. Very active on Facebook, seeing a lot of posts about stuff they have in store. Always interacting with people who stop in. And looks like they got some cool stuff coming up. I'll let you check it out on their Facebook page. I did get a chance to stop in last weekend. I will say this. Great selection, number one, of anything. Sports, Pokemon, Magic the Gathering. They've got memorabilia. I was talking to some of the folks there. They just got like a truckload shipment of bobbleheads in. And not just sports bobbleheads. There's like weird like Michelin tire bobbleheads. There's some really oddball stuff. Some minor league baseball ones that you don't see all that often and probably wouldn't see around Eastern Iowa, but truly just anything you could really ever want collectible wise, sports card wise, there at Cooley Cards and Gaming. Great staff. I spent way too much time, and by way too much time, I'm totally saying that facetiously. I could spend all day there looking through their $1, $2, $3 boxes, but book yourself an hour, maybe two, to go through those, because there's plenty of good deals to be had at Cooley Cards and Gaming. Great selection of packs, boxes, and the like there. So check them out. Appreciate their support of the segment here on 1600 ESPN. A couple different headlines that caught my attention this week. One is, well, the end of the National. We talked about it on last week's segment. The National Sports Collectors Convention came to an end on Sunday. The key takeaway, and this is me just reading through news articles and social media posts and having a couple friends who were there, the key takeaway was they think the National has outgrown Cleveland. The good news is it's headed back to Chicago, which is, I think, if you're in Eastern Iowa, right, it's a little bit closer than Cleveland to get to attend. Obviously, it's a little bit more spacious in the arena that they hold it in Chicago. 100,000 plus people every day in Cleveland. It seemed like the IX Center, just based on everything I've heard from people who were there, reports online that there was just not a lot of room there. So maybe Cleveland moves to a different location, different arena, if that's even possible. But not necessarily a bad experience, but as we talked about on the segment last week, you really needed to be patient with the people around you, considering how the arena has. I think the hobby has outgrown the arena. That's basically what I've heard. But I saw a lot of people buying stuff. I saw some complaints about prices, and that's something we talked about on last week's segment. The hobby has just exploded, and the sports card hobby has just exploded over the last 4 years now. I think the true boom has come and gone between early 2020 to mid 2021. That was kind of the real true craze of cards and such. I think that has mostly passed, but you still have plenty of people who got back into the hobby, who have a newfound interest in the hobby that are in, you know, now for the long haul. And as basic economics tell us, more people are interested. Well, they want the product, and that the major companies see an opportunity there. Well, people want this. We can maybe increase the price just a little bit to make sure this gets into the hands of the people that want it. But a lot of cool exclusives coming out of the National. That's one thing I don't think I mentioned on the segment last week. There were a lot of major card dealers or card companies that had exclusive cards. Like when you walked in, you got a free pack of cards. I saw at least two had exclusive Paul Skeens cards. One was a major card dealer from Pittsburgh, so that makes sense, right? But people kind of leaning into the popularity of Paul Skeens. A lot of Caitlin Clark stuff. I saw Panini at their, I don't know if it was at their booth, but they had an exclusive card set that went out to VIPs. You can buy a VIP admission to the show. Caitlin Clark had an exclusive trading card in it. Really, technically her first in her Indiana Fever uniform. So if you've seen that on eBay, yes, that is a real thing. There's plenty of custom cards and not authorized trading cards of not just her, but plenty of popular athletes out there. And if you're seeing a national exclusive Caitlin Clark Indiana Fever card out there on the secondary market, that is legit. That came with some of the VIP packages. But overall, not a bad experience from what I've heard. But I think a lot of people looking forward to getting back to Chicago, because that's kind of the gold standard. Cleveland certainly was not the worst. It went to Atlantic City. The National did a couple years ago. And I said that on the segment last week, that Atlantic City was frowned upon more than ever possible because of security concerns, and parking was terrible. Just a bad experience overall when it went to Atlantic City, I believe 2 years ago, maybe three. But Cleveland, clearly, at least in my opinion, based on what I've seen, needs a little bit of an upgrade if they are to return there. But Chicago next year, July 30th to August 3rd, for the National Sports Collectors Convention. If you're a regular listener to Collector's Corner, did you attend the National? 319-366-1600. I'm sure there's some out there that are like, hey, he's talking about the National. If you went, how did it go? 319-366-1600. My friend from college, who, it's one of those things, I knew he was kind of into cards, but I was following him on Twitter, and all of a sudden he's posting these pictures of, like, not necessarily high-end, but vintage baseball cards, and he's saying he's at the National. So I was living kind of vicariously through him and his pursuits of some really nice vintage stuff. And he did pick up some really nice vintage, some Satchel Paige and some Willie Mays, and kind of jealous of his collection, because I mean, I have a pretty solid collection. Like, don't get me wrong, I don't have collection envy, but when you see people walking out with Mickey Mantles and stuff like that, like, that kind of, hey, I could use one of those in mine. Don't you know what I mean? One other piece of news from the hobby this week. This is interesting. We've talked a lot about the upcoming switch over for the NFL trading card license from Panini to Topps. And there was an interesting development recently. There was a arbitration hearing. There was this legal battle full of legalese, our favorite topic here on the show. An arbitrator has ruled in favor of Panini, who currently has the NFL license, in this battle with the NFL Players Association. And this battle sprung up from the NFLPA's attempts to dump Panini and move their license over to Fanatics, who, of course, owns Topps. A lot of collectors are looking forward to that move because it means the return of key Topps brands that went away in 2015 was the last year for them. Of course, Topps had the license seemingly forever. There were plenty of other companies that made football cards, but Topps was the key. And considering the negative view of Panini in the hobby right now, especially when it comes to NFL cards, just their practices and the lack of customer service and a lack of returning autograph redemptions on time, and quality control issues, and overprinting of cards. There is some hope by a lot of people in the hobby that this will be expedited. This transition from Panini to Topps will be expedited. Well, there's been a legal battle over it. Surprise, surprise. And there was a report that came out that the arbitrator ruled in favor of Panini in this dispute with the NFLPA. The arbitration ruling will actually pay Panini more than $7 million. So Panini won out in this case. The NFLPA last year sent a letter to players saying we're out. We're dumping Panini. We're moving to Fanatics and Topps. And the union cited the departure of several members of Panini's management team who jumped over to Fanatics as reasoning for the move. The arbitration ruling said that the decision by the NFLPA using the members of the management team going to Fanatics was not a valid decision, and therefore Panini is entitled to the money, more than $7 million, from the NFLPA, or in this contract situation. Panini's still been making the NFL cards and printing them out and putting them out, even with this, so they haven't been given a cease and desist. There's no firm deadline for this. 2025, 2026 is kind of that window when it's expected to happen, but there is no true firm, this is the drop dead date for Panini. So you're still getting Panini products, and there's, like I said, a whole range of issues. There's allegations of sending what they call loaded product to breakers, and breakers are people that open up product for a fee. They send you the cards, and there's allegations, and in my personal opinion, I want this to be more newsy than anything on the segment, but in my personal opinion, it's tough to deny those allegations when you see some of the things that have been happening, where you have one specific breaker who gets all the top product hits. It's hard, in my opinion, for Panini to try to explain their way out of it. But Panini has said, we're the best option for collectors. We're committed to giving them the best experience. And we're going to keep printing the cards until we're told to stop. But $7 million coming their way through that dispute with the NFLPA. But eventually, Fanatics, again, who owns Topps Trading Card Company, they've already taken over Major League Baseball. So all the baseball cards you see, aside from the unlicensed brands that Panini puts out, those are all under the Fanatics umbrella, and soon the NFL and NBA will be under their umbrella too. So it's going to be, and that's drawing concerns from people in the hobby too, because you're going from Panini having a monopoly over NFL and NBA cards to now Fanatics having a monopoly over everything, with Panini having the WNBA. They have WWE, I think. They have NASCAR. They have like F1. They have some soccer brands. Isaac, you would know more about that, obviously. But Panini wants to print as much as they can, as quick as they can, and bring in as much money as they can. Because when they lose those licenses for the NBA and the NFL, it is going to be really hard for them to make any type of money. I mean, WNBA, I think, will be good for them, but without all three of the key sports and the ability to print licensed trading cards, it's going to be impossible for them to keep up.
Do you not think they can? Well, obviously, like Leaf and Wildcard have stayed alive.
Yeah.
Do you not think they can transition to that? Or do you think Leaf and Wildcard both just have more to offer as far as like interesting designs,
yeah,
specifically than Panini does?
I think Leaf and Wildcard have done it right because they're focused so heavily on autographs,
yeah,
and memorabilia, especially Leaf. Leaf does some really nice game use stuff. Leaf has also put in tickets in cards recently. It's kind of gimmicky, I'll admit, but it's kind of cool if you went to a game and you could find like a ticket to a game and you have an autograph on the ticket. That's kind of cool to some people, but Leaf and Wildcard have done well because they've leaned into autographs and numbered cards and memorabilia cards and really tried to ensure they are valuable in a sense, right? Panini is just, they're continuing to do what they've done, especially in baseball, with no licenses. Now, they've been saved because their Donruss set is out and Paul Skeens is in the set. So they can print Paul Skeens cards, but they can't beyond this year because they don't have a Major League Baseball Players Association license. So they cannot print any active player in baseball. So if you buy a Panini baseball product from the last couple years, you're getting prospects and legends. So you could pull a Hank Aaron card and a Jack Centurio card, but you can't pull a Nolan Arenado, Mike Trout. You can't pull any of their cards. And if you did, it would be unlicensed because they can't put Kansas City Royals or Los Angeles Angels. So it's going to be hard for them to keep up. I think they're banking on the WNBA sets that they release to be big money grabbers, and I think they will, because of Caitlin Clark and the rookie class. So it's going to be interesting to see that play out. Hasn't played out just yet, but it's coming down the pipe very soon. That's Collector's Corner. A big thank you to Cooley Cards and Gaming of Cedar Rapids for sponsoring the segment. They'll be sponsoring it every week moving forward. Again, check them out on Facebook, Cooley Cards and Gaming Cedar Rapids. Type that in and you'll find them right there. 5:50, we'll get to today's edition of the Sports Menu up next. Hey, everybody, it's Spencer.